Well, now to bushrangers or the women behind them. Did you know that Kate Kelly, one of the sisters of Ned and Dan, was a very accomplished horsewoman who acted as a decoy rider for the Kelly gang, reportedly with her horse shod backwards to fool police and throw them off the trail? She also acted as a messenger courier of things such as ammunition, and according to legend, took a bullet in her hip during one of those trips. Kate Kelly also has significant links to the Central West, including marrying a man whose family was from Hill End and eventually dying in Lake Forbes. Hill End painter Rebecca Wilson has spent years researching Kate Kelly's life and finding huge parallels and links between the life and issues facing an 1800s woman and her own. She explained her fascinating and emotional journey to Melanie Pierce as they walked through her new exhibition, Kate Kelly, Sister of an Outlaw.
This is Ryder. So Kate used to ride as a decoy and deliver supplies and ammunition.
She was a really good horsewoman, wasn't she?
She was an excellent horsewoman, fantastic skills, and she would go down to Melbourne and get ammunition and things like that and drop off, you know, tell them news. She took a bullet in the hip, according to the Foster family.
So that's that patch of red on her hip there?
That's right. There is actually a passage from Ye Sons of Australia. Can I just read you a little bit of that?
That would be great.
So there's a verse dedicated to her, and it says, "The daring Kate Kelly, how noble her mien, as she sat on her horse like an Amazon queen. She rode through the forest, revolver at hand, regardless of danger, who dare bid her stand? May the angels protect this young heroine bold, and her name be recorded in letters of gold. Though her brothers were outlaws, she loved them most dear, and hastened to tell them when danger was near." So this is sort of dedicated to that.
Here we have one that's titled Kate and Fitzpatrick. What's that all about?
One of the most important nights that changed everything was April 1878, when Constable Fitzpatrick came to the Kelly home. Now, historians have all sort of admitted that they don't really know what happened exactly, and they don't really know who was there. My research has shown, and folklore sort of promotes the fact, that Fitzpatrick and Kate were actually having an affair. Now, she was only 15, he was about 22. There are some beautiful sort of anecdotes of romanticised stories about their affair, but the take is basically that he sort of took advantage of this 15-year-old, reportedly beautiful, feisty, interesting, you know, young girl by pretending to be protecting her brothers. So my theory is that, in fact, the night that he was at their homestead was to visit their love child. Now, there was a baby called Alice, and she was only about 3 days old, and Ellen claimed her as her own. So she's been painted as Kate's younger sister, but what I found out through my research is that Fitzpatrick had actually gotten two other girls pregnant in the lead up to this that he didn't want to take any responsibility for. So to me, that's a really significant night in the Kelly story. And I think that one of the reasons there are so many questions about what happened is because they were trying to protect Kate's reputation.
I read in the blurb about your exhibition that you've discovered that the Kelly story, and particularly Kate Kelly's story, isn't black and white. And you definitely haven't made it black and white. It's full of colour here.
Yeah, I love colour. It's a colourful story, and I wanted to make it, you know, I thought all the characters were colourful people, they were raw, and so I wanted to translate that in the paint. I wanted raw paintings that really were kind of boisterous, I think, as well, because I just feel like I know all the characters intimately now.
That is part of it as an artist. You know, when you read a book or you watch a movie, sometimes you sort of live it out, maybe even dream about it. How much has it affected your life?
Oh, completely. Utterly. I'm so immersed in the story, and I feel like I understand Australia better. I understand the relationship between, say, where we were at that point and now as women. I understand why certain things happened. It's been a real eye-opener, and even though we feel like we're such an advanced society, we're not. You know, I feel like things are still really the same. If you're talking about the same sort of fundamental issues of life and the human condition, so, you know, you've got issues of trauma and depression and things like that that were huge. They witnessed a lot of death and tragedy, class structure, alcoholism, You know, there were just so many themes, but I think particularly for women, you know, here were these resourceful, talented, physical women, you know, great with horses, but then they were also kind of not victims, but they definitely were given to the circumstances of their life and their time.
Journey has not just been using colour and paint. I mean, you've been sitting in libraries and behind a computer screen. Tell me about that.
It's taken years. And when I first started this, I'd only been in Hilland for about a year, and I was actually living in my little shack that didn't have electricity or water. And so in a lot of ways, my life was echoing perhaps the life of an 1800s, you know, settler. And, you know, I'd heard stories when I was a kid. My uncle had said that he had relatives in the same street that were neighbours to Kate. And his the stories that had been passed down to him were that she was lovely and that whatever, you know, if you wanted to borrow a jar of sugar or a glass of milk, you know, nothing was too much trouble for her. And when he spoke of her, he spoke of her very warmly. But then, you know, when I was in different situations in Forbes, I realised that some people really objected to her story being told, and they perceived her as, you know, a drunk and a no-hoper and, you know, our town's about more than just bushrangers and bushranger sisters. And of course it is. Forbes, you know, has a fantastic rich culture, but actually this is a really important story.
What's the Forbes connection? She came to live there in later life?
So she performed around New South Wales and Victoria on horseback. The police kept shutting the shows down. They were very successful and attracted large crowds. And she started to travel under an alias after that, because I think my perception is that the fame really got to her. So she went to Forbes at Cadow Station, which is about 20 minutes out of town, and worked as a domestic servant. But she was hired under the name of, I think, Ada Hennessy. And so she worked there for a year. And then she moved into town, and then she met her husband.
There are threads weaving all over the place, including your own family history. What's that journey been like?
It's been incredible. So I was sort of doing family history at the same time as I was researching Kate. And then I discovered that the people that hired Kate at Cadow, that was, you know, my ancestral relatives. So it was just, you know, incredible. It just endorsed the fact that I felt like it was a story I really had to tell, that I was deeply connected to, and I really felt like I wanted to be a strong, clear voice for Kate, because I really like who she was. I think if she was alive now, I'd be a friend.
And this one we might take a final look at is her depicted in a wedding dress with Bricky. Did she have a happy marriage? Did she have a happy life in the end?
I think she was fraught with complexities. I think that the stuff that had happened early in her life, and witnessing the burning of the pub at Glenrowan and the siege, you know, her brothers' bodies were dragged out, burned to a crisp, and then Ned hanged, you know. I don't know. I think that she probably was grieving over that probably for the rest of her life. They had 6 children, only 3 of them lived, but she was drinking apparently. And when she had her last child, that in that painting there, there's a 5-week-old baby in the corner. And it's on the record that she had milk fever, so that would have been post or perinatal depression. See, that's something that's really relevant to today as well. We'll always have questions about really what happened. But at the inquest, they said they established that she had drowned, but they couldn't figure out how she got into the lake.
And where was that, and how old was she?
So she was about 35, 36, and it was in the Forbes Lake, also known as the Lagoon. They called it the Lagoon then.
And you can remember going past that as a child?
You know, we had a great old time hooning around wherever and investigating the lake and the river and all of that. But, yeah, I never liked to ride past that section. It's down near the racecourse, and that might be why, you know. Maybe it's a sort of sinister part of the lake. So I think it was a very tragic kind of ending to someone who's really incredible and gutsy, and I think we all need to know more about her.
There you go. Artist Rebecca Wilson talking to multi-platform reporter Melanie Pearce at the Jean Bellette Gallery at Hillend, part of the Bathurst Regional Gallery, where her Kate Kelly exhibition is on until June 26. And if Hillend isn't in your neck of the woods, the pop-up exhibition Kate Kelly, Sister of an Outlaw, is going next to Orange then doing a stint in Sydney before heading to Forbes, and ultimately to the heart of Kelly Country, to Wangaratta in Victoria.